Taken with the Matthew 18, the Matthean verses there where Jesus puts his church together. And what I've been taken with is how far we have slipped in our concept of what church is and also what it means to be a member of a church. And the Holy Spirit wants to draw us back to this powerful tool in God's world that he uses to bring those who don't know him into the family. Church is not, what have we made church? People go to a particular church because I've heard him say, you can go to this church and you can be as involved or you can be as uninvolved as you want to be. You don't have to participate if you don't want to. You can sit in the back. You don't have to talk to anybody. You can come and you go. And their service times are so convenient. I'm able even to sleep in on Sunday morning. They have services that tailor-made to my schedule. Church is not about, I'm afraid, our convenience. And church membership, I'm afraid, is not about what works for us. Boy, Jesus knows, I told Teresa this week, Jesus knows nothing of that kind of church. And it has become quite a burden for me, quite a thing. That the Holy Spirit, and I say this unfortunately, I say the Holy Spirit has unfortunately called me to address. Why? Because it's hard. Next week we're going to talk about the last part in Matthew 18, and next week's message I'm so excited about because the power that is demonstrated in those verses about the power of the church and the significance of being involved in a church. And the Holy Spirit so wants Newville to get a hold of this and be that kind of church. It is a wonderful thing. It is a powerful thing, and it is such a blessing. We need to get involved in one another's lives. We're a family. That's what a church is. We're a family. We have time for prayer requests, and you bring your needs before us as a family would do. And the power of a praying church that Jesus talks about next week, the power of just two people praying, like-minded people. But we have to, before we get into that, the Holy Spirit gave me this introduction because Brock emails me Thursday and says, what's your message going to be for Sunday? Wednesday night, I wrote my message on the porch swing with Teresa. It's a wonderful time of fellowship between us and prayer and scripture, and we watch the birds flying and the sun setting, and we get away from the TV. And I wrote my message Wednesday night, and I thought, wait a minute. Here it is. This is what I did Wednesday night. That's what the Holy Spirit did to it Friday morning. Which is really depressing because I thought I had it. And so the Holy Spirit did that. And so I wrote Brock back and I said, Brock, wrote the message Wednesday night on the swing. This morning the Holy Spirit pulled it. So I said, stand by. Thursday night, Ezekiel 33 comes to me. And I said, this is what the Holy Spirit wants. And I know and I'm clear on my calling. My calling, as you know, I'm called to be a sentinel to the church. Uncomfortable place to be. Who has served in combat in here? Jason? Brock? Anybody else? Combat? Okay, Jason and Brock, I got a question for you guys. You were in harm's way. You had an encampment, I imagine. What is a sentry's job?
Watch.
Good. Watch. What else?
Sound the warning.
Excellent. Why? And what's he warning about? If he does sound a warning, what's the issue?
Danger.
What if he doesn't do his job? What if he sleeps?
Could be very bad.
Okay. Who's it bad for?
Him and everyone.
Did you hear that? Him and everyone that didn't get the warning. I had an acquaintance with a woman years ago. I was pastor here at that time. And she was an avowed atheist, very intelligent woman. She was a Shakespearean scholar, and we connected on that level, and she liked me. She also knew where I stood theologically. I warned her. I warned her Friday afternoon of the danger and the consequences of her wandering. She grew up in the church, used to play the organ in a church. She wandered, left it, wanted nothing to do with it, nothing. I warned her Friday at 3 p.m. You don't think there's a spiritual warfare going on and a struggle for lives, men and women's souls, and how vital we are in that struggle? I gave her a copy of Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis's book, which I gave to all three of my boys. Have you all read it? I know, Tad, you've read it three times. Tori, how many times have you read that? Yeah. How about you, Tommy? A bunch of times. Great answer. I gave her a copy of this book, and I said to her, as the sentinel says, as what we're called to do, I warned her about her stance of unbelief and her militant stance about this. And 3 p.m. Friday afternoon, 8 a.m. the next morning, she dies in a plane crash. And she had pre-written her obituary. And she says in that obituary, she says, I'm an atheist. I make no apology about that. And she said this chilling statement. She says, if I'm wrong, it's a risk I'm willing to take. Imagine that. Imagine the forces going on in the heavenly realm that is opaque to us, that we don't see what's going on. See, I knew, in retrospect, I knew there was a tremendous battle going on in the heavenly realm for that woman's soul on that day before she is called to give account for her life. I happened to be blessed by the Holy Spirit to be a part of that, to be called into that scenario. And I warned her. Now, I don't know what transpired between my 3 p.m. warning, sounding the trumpet, and the next morning, 8 a.m., with the plane crash. I don't know. And you know what? I don't need to know. There's only one thing that I am called to do. Only one thing. That's right, Fred. Sound the warning. Led me to Ezekiel. Let's look at this briefly on the back of your devotionals. You see, you know what I'm doing for you today? I am warning you. Because we find the one who is held, like Jason said, the one who's held to a higher standard is the sentinel. Don't you love that word? The word of the Lord came to me, Ezekiel says. And here's what came to him. Son of man, speak to your people and tell them. And he gives them a hypothetical situation, doesn't he? He gives Ezekiel a hypothetical situation. Suppose I bring the sword against the land, And the people of that land select a man from among them, and they appoint him to be a sentinel, to watch. And by the way, you know, when I was preparing this, and we're just going to be casually speaking today, and I'm going to use what Teresa calls my soft voice. Teresa says, use your soft voice. Okay. I read this, and I thought how contemporary this is. And brothers and sisters, if you don't see the sword coming against the United States of America, let me assure you it's coming. There are so many things lining up, from leadership to what is going on in the terrorist communities, that the sword is coming. And when I read that, I thought we could rip this out of centuries-old Ezekiel writing, and you could plug in United States of America here. So anyway, suppose that they select a man from among them, and they appoint him as a sentinel, and he sees the sword coming against the land, and he blows his trumpet to warn the people. Stop. Full stop. Right there. Three things the sentinel is called to do. Number one, see the sword coming. Number two, blow the trumpet. Why? Number three, warn the people. What's the sentinel's motive here? You don't want to talk to people and you don't want to warn them. And you don't want to present the gospel. You don't want to live an image-bearing life. There's only one reason. There's only one reason God says you don't do that, and Jesus says it too. You don't love them. The reason this sentinel blows the trumpet is one reason, and maybe you want to circle that, to warn his people. His people. It's love motivated. It's not judgment. What are we not allowed to do today? Did you hear that story about a young girl in school who said, bless you, when someone sneezed? She said, bless you, and they expelled her? Oh, they said she was invoking God's blessing, and you can't do that. Listen, the enemy knows this cycle, and what he must do is shut up the sentinels. Can you at football games and high school activities and so forth, and commencement speeches, you can't say anything about Scripture. You can't say the word God. I know Timmy gave an address to the Clear Fork when he graduated. He wouldn't have been able to give that address today because he mentioned those things. Full stop. The sentinel did his job. He saw something coming. He blew the trumpet to warn the people because he cared for them. They're his people. He loves them. He knows the consequence. He knows that the sword is coming. Then, if he does that, okay, I was a sentinel to that woman. I did that. Are you coming in contact with people that you do not be the sentinel to? Just don't want to bother? Too awkward? Uncomfortable. You know why you don't do it? You don't believe it. You don't see the sword coming. You don't believe it. Because if you really love somebody, the most loving thing you can do, if you believe it, is to warn them. How loving would it be for my sons? They were under my purview, and I saw them going the wrong way, and I saw the sword coming down on them. How loving is that for me to ignore it? Well, then if anyone hears the sound of the trumpet, they hear the warning, but they ignore the warning, and the sword does come and takes him away. Who? Who's him? Well, the warned, ignoring one takes him away. His blood, the warned, ignoring one, his blood will be on his own head. since, why is it on his own head? Since he heard the sound of the trumpet but ignored the warning. He heard it. The sentry calls out to Jason and Brock's camp, the sword's coming. They heard it. They ignored it. The enemy sweeps through and raises the camp. The sentry did his job. They ignored it. The blood of their own lives, loss of their lives, is on their hands, not the sentry's. If he had taken warning, if he had just taken the warning, he would have saved his life. I can't make you take this warning. And you cannot make anybody take this warning. I got to get back to the soft voice, right, Teresa? Okay. If they don't take the warning, what do you do? If he had taken it, he would have saved his life. However, now there's another scenario. However, see if this resonates with you. And by the way, if you're the enemy, who are you going to try to undermine in this scenario? Who are you coming at? What's that? Sentinel. Oh, chaos upon chaos. If he can get to the sentinels, double calamity. The enemy knows this. Does he keep you from being a sentinel? However, if the sentinel sees the sword coming, doesn't blow his trumpet so the people aren't warned, and the sword does come, and he takes away their lives, the ones who weren't warned, then they, the ones not warned, have been taken away. They've lost their life because of their iniquity. Do you see this? They lose their lives still because of their iniquity. Only the case here is they didn't have any warning. Hear Teresa's quote from Jeremiah. All of my prophets and my priests are dealing falsely. Don't deal falsely with people. How do you deal falsely with people? Jeremiah says, they say peace, peace, when there is no peace. They have dealt with the wounds of my people superficially. Sin is a deep-seated problem that has to be dealt with vigorously and robustly. You don't help anybody by telling them they're okay. They lose their lives because of their iniquity. And look at that last, but I will hold the sentinel accountable for their blood. The unwarned ones lose their lives. Doesn't matter if they were warned or not. Well, you say, well, that's not fair. Well, God is eminently fair, and Paul says that everybody knows and has no excuse. Who said, Teresa, maybe you know, when people stop believing in God, they don't believe in nothing, they believe in anything. How powerful is that? They lose their lives, they weren't warned, and they deserve it because of their iniquity, their sin, their wandering. The sentinel is responsible. Double loss. The camp is raised, the sentinel is responsible for their blood. I don't know about you. I don't want somebody else's blood on my hands. Listen, Newville. Listen, church. We need to get back to the purpose of a church. It is not about our comfort and convenience. It is not about coming and listening and saying, wow, that was a great message, and I'm going to go just do my thing. A church is God's sentinel. They lose their lives. The sentinel's responsible. Now, as for you, what's this got, Ezekiel might be saying, but what's this got to do with me? Well, God says, well, as for you, son of man, this is how it pertains to you. Okay? Newville, this is how it pertains to you. I have made you sentinels for the house of Israel. What's the Israel today? Church. The Church of Jesus is the new Israel. I have made you a sentinel for the house of Israel. And here's where the enemy gets into your life. This next statement. Now, I know this. When you hear a word from my mouth, full stop again. How do you hear a word from his mouth? How does God speak to us today? You sentinels? Scripture, prayer, other Christian, circumstances. Did you hear those? Are you doing those? Because you're a sentinel. You know what the enemy doesn't want? The enemy doesn't want that right there. He doesn't want you to hear a word from his mouth. Peace, peace, when there is no peace. They have dealt with the wounds of my people superficially. Scripture, prayer, other Christians, circumstances. It's how you get a word from his mouth. Which one of those four things do I fall down on? Which one of those four ways that I get a word from his mouth am I lacking in? Because that's where the enemy is going to come. The enemy is going to take out the sentinels, the sentries. Distract them. Distraction. I'm not doing anything blatantly wrong. I'm just busy. I'm just going here and there, to and fro, hither and yon. I got a lot of things going on. God understands that, for heaven's sakes. How's the enemy work? Hurry, noise, crowds. Hurry, noise, crowds. The first thing we have to do as a sentinel is hear the word from his mouth, and then when we hear it, here's what you'll do. Give them a warning. Who's the warning? From me. Give them a warning from me. You're not warning them. It's not coming from Tim Davis. It's coming because you're listening to one who is willing to do what is necessary to hear a word from his mouth. Else I can't stand here and do this. I give you, that's my pledge to you as my congregation. I will stay connected to the vine. And it's demanding, but I have to, because I feel a terrible sense of responsibility. My call as a sentinel carries with it a tremendous responsibility. So does yours. Give a warning from me. If I say to the wicked, here's the warning, wicked one, you will surely die. But if I do that, if you hear that and you do not speak out to warn this person, that person, about his way, that wicked person will die for his iniquity, whether you've warned them or not. Yet, see that? Yet, I will hold you responsible. And say this to the Church of Laodicea. I know your works. I know you're not hot or you're not cold. You're lukewarm. And I'm going to spit you out of my mouth, church, sentinels. I'd rather you were hot or cold. See, that's what's happened to the church, I think. I think the church experience has become lukewarm. Why do you go to a particular church? It's just convenient for me. I don't have to do a thing. I don't really have to get to know anybody either. It's great. I can sit in the back. Lukewarm. The Holy Spirit wants Newville to be a church of sentinels that support one another and get involved in each other's lives. Because I'll tell you, maybe you don't experience it, it's tough out there. the nits and the dragons that we deal with every single day. And you do too. I need you. I hope you need me. I will hold you responsible for his loss of life. But if you warn that person to turn away from his way, and he doesn't turn from it, he will also, again, die for his iniquity. This message from Ezekiel is to the sentinels. The sentinels. He will die for his iniquity, but you, the sentinel, are exonerated. You did it. You warned them. 3 p.m. Friday afternoon, I warned her. Do I ever come across cases I don't warn? Absolutely. Absolutely. To my shame. Why? Well, for me, because I'm hung up on my stuff. But when I stay in listening to his word, I can do nothing but pass that on. Have you experienced that? When you're really into the word, you're really hearing it, and you're spending the time in prayer, doesn't it impel you to speak? Last paragraph. Now, as for you, son of man, here's what I want you to say to the church / Israel. You have said this. Who's you? You have said this. The world, the church, the people who are depending on us. They're coming to us. They come to you, don't they? I know in my wife's particular line of work, they come to her. They come to you. And they're saying, the world is saying, our transgressions and our sins are heavy on us. Now, they don't get that. They don't necessarily have to say that. They just say this, we are wasting away. Do you know people wasting away? We are wasting away because of them, our sins and our transgressions. How can we survive? There it is. How can we survive? Tori was so instrumental in this message. He sent me a video to watch on my computer. And no one someone sent me an email, would you? I get no emails. I mean, Teresa's like answering emails all day. I check the weather. I'd say hi to Tom and Tad and Tori once in a while. They sometimes answer. And Brock says, what are you going to preach on?
Look out.
Look out? You're going to do that?
Oh, no, you're going to get a lot of messages.
Okay. Maybe. Tori sends me an email with a video to watch. Tori, the Holy Spirit used you powerfully in this message. People say, how then can we survive? It was about an open-air preacher. And he was just out in open air, just giving the word that he heard. He was warning. And this young girl, this young woman in the crowd, took tremendous offense, and she came up and wanted to confront him. And she says to him, you're breaking my heart. I'm so frustrated with you. She says, what you're talking about, she said, that's not the kind of God, and she pointed to the crowd, that's not the kind of God that they need. She said, you're judging people. They don't need that kind of God. They need a loving God. They need a forgiving God. And she said, and I'll bet 99% of the people out here in the crowd agree with me. And, you know, people in the crowd, yeah. Paul. They stopped worshiping the God that made them and started to worship the God that they made. what that young woman wanted, what the world wants, is to be vindicated exactly where they stand and as they stand. I want a God that will vindicate me as I stand. Exactly what ancient Israel wanted. They wanted to be the people of God, inviolable forever and ever, amen. Not dependent on anything they did. They wanted to be vindicated by Yahweh as they presently stood. And the prophets and the priests tried to draw them back, and they refused, and they said, we are the people of God no matter what. You're not giving them the kind of God that they need. They need a loving God that is not judgmental. They need a God that just accepts them and vindicates them as they stand, and everybody's clapping. That's why you aren't going to see the Ten Commandments anywhere anymore. You're not going to see them. Because the enemy is taking out the sentinels. You. How then can we survive? Well, tell them, God says, tell them that you're okay, I'm okay, everybody's okay. Don't worry about it. Don't be a fanatic about it. Don't scare people. Don't judge people. You're a right-wing extremist. You're totally unpopular, and you're totally judgmental. And who are you to tell anybody how they should live, by the way? Isn't that the attack of the world on God's word? Well, Ezekiel makes it eminently clear. God says to Ezekiel, you tell them what I said, not what you're saying, what I said. And that's what this preacher said to this young girl. He said, I'm not judging you. I'm giving you the word. And she hated it. The time will come, Paul says to his young protege Timothy, we're here. The time has come when people will no longer put up with sound doctrine and sound teaching. They just won't put up with it. Instead, they're going to accumulate for themselves teachers that tell them exactly what they want to hear, the kind of God they need. Tell them, as I live, in other words, I'm alive, and because I'm alive, the declaration of the Lord God, here's what he says, and here's where it confronts what that young woman said and what the world says to you and me. God says, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather, God's will rather, that the wicked person should turn from his way. Jesus said that about the sheep and the goat. Remember the sheep, the one that wandered away? And he says, it's not the will of the Father that any one of them should self-destruct, should die, should lose their life. God doesn't want that. I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but I would rather that the wicked person should turn from his way. You see that? His way. See, that's what that young girl wanted. Her way. She wanted to eat the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, deciding for herself and everybody else what's okay, deciding for herself. She wanted to continue to eat that fruit, but she wanted to stay in Eden. And God will have none of that. Turn from his way, and as a result, and live. How? How? Repent, repent of your evil ways. Why will you die, house of Israel? Why will you self-destruct? Here's the word from his mouth. There it is. Here's the word from his mouth, sentinels. How do you sound the trumpet to warn lives? And what do we do as obedient sentinels? And that's what Jesus gets into next week. I hope that schedules and whatever, I hope you can be here next week. It is so powerful what the Holy Spirit has for us next week, for you, for church. as the sentinels in a postmodern world. You see, what has happened to the world? The individual existential angst of the last millennium has turned into, haven't you noticed that? Has turned into a worldwide corporate country, nation by nation, existential angst of the second millennium. The sword is coming. And we need to sound that trumpet. Else, brothers and sisters, you will be held and I will be held responsible for that blood. Let's pray. Lord and Master, hard message, convicting message. Bless these words, and you bless these your people. Protect them from the evil one. Amen.